a bill to bring an end to all race-based policy and legislation in South Africa has been launched. We speak to Phil Craig, whose referendum party is behind the bill. Welcome, Phil.
Hi, Chris. Great to be with you this morning, and thank you for having us on the show.
You're welcome. What does the bill predominantly deal with, and what changes does it propose?
So predominantly, it deals with Section 9 of the Constitution, which is the Equality Clause. So we have this contradiction in the South African Constitution, you know, Section 1B, the founding values of South Africa, non-racialism and non-sexism. And then we have the Equality Clause, Section 9, that, you know, obviously sets out to aspiration that we're all treated equally, which obviously we would agree with. But it allows this provision that the state can take actions to effectively remedy the effects of unfair discrimination in the past, which we also agree with. But that's been come to be interpreted by the Constitutional Court to allow race-based policy, which is, of course, is completely contradictory to this founding value of non-racialism. How can you have a society that's founded on non-racialism, which then makes decisions on people based purely upon their race? So effectively, the crux of this bill is it does two things. It takes away the state's ability to make decisions on people based purely upon their race, and requires that those decisions are based upon individual circumstances rather than race. And it says, look, we absolutely understand that the state would want to take actions to undo the effects of unfair discrimination in the past, but in doing so, it can't commit new discrimination in the present, in the future, which obviously would be completely counterproductive. And I think it's very hard for anybody to say that either of those two things are unreasonable, and that is the essence of this bill.
And what support have you been able to drum up for this bill?
Yeah, so we started to get strong support from the public. I would have liked to have got more support from the established political parties. And in some ways, this bill is going to be a bit of a watershed moment. In that, you know, we saw with the Bella bill that effectively the opposition parties, or former opposition parties, are now form of the government, part of the government in the GNU, have been quite muted. Ultimately, they passed the Bella bill when they could have used the consensus clause to block it. And I think that was a mistake. And many of those parties are, you know, strongly opposed, or at least theoretically, to non-racialism. And we hope now that those parties are going to stand up and support this bill when it comes to Parliament and say, well, we believe in non-racialism too, and we reject the ANC's obsession with race-based policy. We've now got more race laws now than we did under apartheid, and they'll help us bring this to an end. And if they do, great, that would be our first choice. And if they don't, then at least voters then can see how the parties that they voted for are performing, and then start to reevaluate whether those parties are the best vehicle for them going forward, if ultimately they're not going to make a stand on the issues that are important to the voters who voted for them.
And have you had any personal interaction with people in those parties on the bill? People who are on a position?
Look, so unfortunately, at this point in time, probably the two main opposition parties that we would be aligned with would be the DA and the Freedom Front Plus. We've written to all political parties and the major civic organisations. In general, civic organisations came back to us and said, "Look, we support the bill. Great, please go ahead." And the political parties have largely ignored us, and I think that's been frustrating. So we have specifically invited parties to comment. We provided them with a copy of the bill. We provided them to give input into the bill, and ultimately they've opted not to do so. And look, without naming names at this point, with one of the parties, with the DA, the first person or one person indicated that they would help us with the bill, and then suddenly were unable to help us thereafter. And obviously there's a strong suspicion there that the party politics is now coming into play, which is frustrating, because I mean, the referendum party, we're a tiny party. We don't have representation in government. We're trying to do the right thing, and ultimately this has to rise above party politics, and we have to serve the best interests of the voters. And we've got this huge ideological minority population in South Africa who are up against it, you know, with the ANC, MK and the EFF. And we need the centre-right parties to stand up and to have courage. And there's no point in being inside the GNU and if you're then not going to stand up for the issues that people voted you to put you there. So yeah, very disappointing so far. But when the bill comes before committee, then obviously the parties in the G will have to then publicly show their hand, and then we'll see where they stand. And I suspect that once they publicly have to take a stand, it'll be very difficult for those parties to oppose this bill.
So what is the next step now for this bill to get it through the National Assembly?
So the next step for this bill is we want to submit this bill to the committee, the Committee on Justice and Constitutional Affairs. There are three ways that a bill can be submitted. The government can submit a bill, a private member can submit a bill, and that would have been one of the options for those parties within the GNU. But ultimately, the committee can submit a bill, and then there's a right under the constitution for us to petition the committee. So what we're doing is we've written this bill. We're going to petition the committee, and we're currently going through a public participation process where we've invited members of the public to sign up in support. We started that yesterday. We've currently got a few thousand people that have already signed up in support. So that's our hope now, that it'll come to the bill. The committee will then obviously have to consider this bill formally because it's been sent to them. They'll decide then whether they adopt the bill as the committee or they reject it. And at that point in time, we'll see where those parties stand. Are they going to say, well, look, this bill's important and we stand with it? Or are they going to vote with the ANC to effectively block this bill and maintain race-based policy? And then we'll all know.
Okay, just on to another matter. With your party having been established to try and force a referendum on Cape independence, what is the latest on that, Phil?
Well, look, so I think we it's going to be the long haul. So let's say, when we first started, and go back before the referendum party and my role at the Cape Independence Advocacy Group, you know, primarily we recognised that Cape independence is going to require the support of the Western Cape government, who are the representative of the Western Cape people. So we know from polling that the majority of people would support Cape independence, but we have this issue that the Western Cape government won't ask them. And undoubtedly, the DA have polled this issue and understand as well as we do that there is at least a strong likelihood that people would vote for Cape independence given the chance. Obviously, as has been made public, they promised us a referendum. They reneged on that deal. And where we currently stand is this, that the DA are not going to call a referendum Cape independence, even though they know the majority of their own supporters and the Western Cape people would support it. Now, we can get around that issue, and we already have, so that the Cape Independence Advocacy Group is making preparations for a private referendum. And following the example that was the Italian province of Veneto, who when the province wouldn't hold a official referendum, they held an unofficial referendum. They won that, and ultimately that led to a negotiated settlement where Veneto got an awful lot more autonomous power. And so we have that solution, but the political circumstances need to be right. And I think so at this point in time, we're busy with that part of the project. But I mean, from the referendum party, and now effectively, people had two options. We had this negotiation with the DA, and ultimately they broke their word. We formed the referendum party, and we needed Cape independence supporters to come out and vote effectively against the DA and for Cape independence. They didn't, and we understand why. So that in many ways has set us back onto a different trajectory. The quick fix is gone, and now we're into a much longer haul. We have to build a beachhead of political power so we can then force that decision down onto the Western Cape government. And obviously we'll be able to use the private referendum as a means to build pressure. Our focus as a party now really is doing the hard yards. We only had 6 months before the 2024 elections. We did the best that we could, but ultimately wasn't enough. And now we've got 4 years to build for 2029, and that's very much our focus. And I think the key thing for us to do now is, I think people understand that the GNU probably isn't a long-term solution for South Africa. It's better than the MK and the EFF ANC, but it certainly isn't resulting in the majority of ideological minorities who would form a majority in the Western Cape and other parts of the country being able to be governed according to their democratic will. So now we have to sort of move forward on that side. And I think things like this bill, and we've also got an illegal settlements bill coming later in the year, and we're looking at a self-determination bill. And I think from our point of view now, we're trying to establish our party and say, look, there isn't really an opposition. The opposition has been co-opted into government. Somebody needs to stand up for these things that ordinary people support. And the referendum party is very much putting itself forward for that.
and self-determination really is our key. And in the Western Cape, you know, the logical solution in the Western Cape is to just govern ourselves. I mean, we've got an electoral roll, we've got a parliament. We want to be governed different to the rest of South Africa, and Cape independence is a very simple solution then to say, well, you go your way, we'll go ours. Everybody's governed according to their democratic will. Everybody's happy, and the people of the Western Cape will be better off. But also there are communities outside of the Western Cape, cultural communities, Afrikaners, Zulus, Venders, who also have aspirations to govern themselves. And actually, we see the future really is in people saying, look, don't fight us on Cape independence, copy us, let's all work together. You know, this central state where one government makes all the decisions just doesn't work. And the very fact that we can't come anywhere near reaching a consensus on how we should be governed demonstrates the fallacy of that. Let's, you know, whether it's federalism, whether it's independent states, that we can have a discussion later, but we have to find a different model of government that allows communities to be governed according to their democratic will. And that's what the referendum party is going to stand for. And I think the more the GNU is exposed as a shallow compromise that isn't a long-term solution, the more that our vision of self-determination for different communities, including the Western Cape, is going to come to the fore.
Thank you. That was Phil Craig of the referendum party speaking to BizNews after the launch of a new bill to end all race-based policy and legislation. Thank you, Phil. I'm Christine.
Thanks, Chris.